All right, we continue with the doctrine of the rapture, dealing with the synonyms. Salvation, soteria. Salvation is used in the Bible for everything from a physical deliverance, because that's the other word, deliverance. It is used for, of course, our so great salvation, the salvation adjustment. It is used in connection with qualifying yourself for the crown. And that's the key verse on that one would be, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So when you were saved, you were delivered from, and then when if you get to the Bema seat and you get the crown, you will be delivered from loss and shame. That will hit so many Christians who will not be qualified and will, in their resurrection body, do not want to fail to point out that when we are resurrected in our new body, we will be perfect. And we will be perfect in knowledge and understanding of the plan of God. So anybody raptured out of here who is in reversionism, does not have the kind of doctrine and the truth and the applications necessary, they will know immediately that they blew it. They will know immediately. The rest of us, the few, as it always turns out to be, the few, on the other hand, will immediately have confidence. We won't be sitting there wondering. We will absolutely be assured before it is pronounced over us and we are granted the ultimate reward for completion of one's course, the crown. But in order to get that, for anyone listening to this out there, you've got to run this race according to the rules. And the rules are laid down in Scripture. And for the pastor teacher, the rule is study, teach the whole counsel of God, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine. And this doctrine is a compilation of verses that we have covered in the New Testament with regard to the topic of the rapture. So the word soteria is used, for instance, in 1 Peter 1:5, referring to believers to whom this was written, and by extrapolation, all believers, who are protected by the power of God. Nothing can touch and undermine your salvation. No technologies, no things that come down on earth can interfere at all with your salvation. It is locked in. And you are preserved by the Holy Spirit, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who are protected by the power of God through faith, that's saving faith, your initial faith in Christ, for those listening, salvation, as what is required of the individual, is so easy. Anybody can do it. It isn't restricted in any way. And all it takes is faith in the gospel message, faith in Christ, and you are, as an individual, delivered from the greatest threat, the ultimate threat that hangs over humanity. Spiritual death carried to the end means the lake of fire. That ought to be sobering. And all the individual has to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing else is required. Through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. The word coming, parousia, 1 Corinthians 15:23, Christ the first fruits. I told you he was the first one resurrected. Category one of the first resurrection. We're in the second category. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Church age crowd. 1 Thessalonians and the other verses. I'll just read ones that are here. James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient. Every Christian that's on track spiritually must exercise patience with regard to this. God has set up his plan, and he can't violate anything that he has to do and get in place so at the optimum time, he can rapture us out of here. All the actors, all the players have to be in place. Every detail has to be on the timeline. It's set in stone. He isn't willing that any should perish. Can't hurry it up. He's got to have it when all factors are right. That's another observation. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, at hand doesn't mean for them to think that, oh, it's going to occur in my lifetime. It's a surety that it will occur in its time. Romans 13:11, and this do, knowing the time, that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Sleep? This is being out of fellowship. When you're asleep, you are not aware of your surroundings. When you're out of fellowship or when you're worse, you really are not on top of things like you should be. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. So, salvation. Revelation, as in the book of Revelation. Apocalyptus. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Here's the attitude the believers to have with regard to the rapture and our gathering together with the Lord and going on to and beginning to enjoy our eternal niche. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To reveal something is self-explanatory. Manifestation, epiphania. 1 Timothy 6:14, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future. Paul hasn't got this yet, of course. You don't get your rewards just because your soul goes to heaven. You have to wait till you get your resurrection body. Then the reward package comes into play. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he's the perfect evaluator. Because he's God. He will evaluate us perfectly and accurately regarding our time as Christians. Will award to me on that day. It'll be a day in human history when the rapture occurs. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his Epiphania. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life source, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory, phase 3, onward and upward. I will lay out for you, because you need to know where you need to know your future. As so far as it's revealed in Scripture. You need to know what to expect with regard to the balance of human history on earth, this earth, and also with regard to the eternal state. You need to have some insight insofar as it is possible to make this clear to us. We cannot appreciate, obviously, the full spectrum of this, as we can anything else that people may tell us a few details about, and well, that sounds nice. You have to be there and involved in it to get the full picture. We just have a taste of the glory and the power to be revealed. All right, Roman numeral 3, this doctrine is a part of the mystery doctrines of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is within that general category. It covers the aspect of the resurrection body, part of the mystery. But this is the dispensation that was hidden from the Old Testament crowd. The best of the prophets could do, and there was two that had insight into this, at least that I know of, Moses and Hosea. They knew that Israel as the custodian of the plan and the promoter of the plan before the nations, the priest nation, they knew that Israel would be temporarily set aside due to their negative volition, and that a new people would be brought into the picture. But beyond that, they had no idea who the new people was. Well, it turns out the new people are born-again Christians from all the Gentile nations and also any Jews that become believers. They're church-age saints, royal family, universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer in this dispensation is a believer priest. No, not one group is just priests and that's it, as taught in certain apostate Christian circles. It's a universal priesthood. There were no female priests in the age of Israel. Now every female, male, whatever you are, whatever your background, you're a believer, you are a part of this royal family. See, the union with Christ means we share what's the closest relationship we can think of between two human beings. It's marriage. All right? The two in a marriage share everything. So if we're a part of this bride metaphor, body metaphor too, that's another one, head, body, it all goes together. So we share in Christ's royalty. We are royal family. Age of Israel, for instance, there was a royal tribe, Judah. And there was a royal set of kings within the Judean line of kings. Outside that, they weren't that. So all of us are royal family. Royalty is a big thing in human history. Yes, it's abused and there's these corrupt people and all the rest. But God likes royalty. God's a king. He sits on a throne. And we're royal family. We're royalty. So this doctrine, the doctrine of the church, really, and the details about it, was why it was broached by Christ. It really takes traction and is revealed through the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians in particular, if you're familiar with it. While on earth, Jesus himself promised the disciples the rapture. That's a typo. That should be John 14, verse 3. We just read it. 5. Jesus was translated into heaven. Jesus ascended to heaven twice, for those out there. Two ascensions. The one was private. It occurred when he went to the center of the earth in his resurrection body, where there was a safekeeping place for Old Testament saints, all those from Adam on down the line who were incorporated into this place called paradise. He took all those believers and took them and their souls to the throne room of the third heaven. Up to that time, there were no believers. There's no evidence I have in any scripture that any believers, when they died, went straight to the third heaven. The reason for that is Christ had not appeared and died for sins yet. That's the only reason I can give you for that. Now that that veil has been torn, so to speak, he could lead all those Old Testament saints. And that's his first appearance in heaven in his humanity. His Father's house. And that's where he got the pronouncement, "This is my beloved Son." He came back to earth and appeared to his disciples over a 40-day span. Here and there. Recorded in the gospel accounts of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. His final ascension is visible to at least the disciples that were there, witnesses, to his slow ascension out of their sight from the Mount of Olives. Now that's when he touches earth again, makes physical contact with it, it'll be that same mountain. It'll be the second advent. just east of Jerusalem, that ridge, will be split in half. So we won't read that. Enoch, Elijah, and the two witnesses illustrate the doctrine. The disappearance of Enoch. Suddenly he just vanished. Now, when Elijah was taken away, he had one witness, his student and successor, watched him go. Now, I don't know where God put his body. So in the traditional sense, they did not die. But they had to have died. I mean, death is basically, the soul is separated from the body, and the body is what dies. Okay, this one is from the 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. The background and the reason in part that Paul wrote this to these Thessalonian believers was because there was some angst with regard to the fact that at this early stage, from the founding of the church, the writing of this epistle, some of their members had died physically. And there was concerns and questions about all of this. All right. Now, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Ignorance is not a virtue in the Christian life. We want you to be informed on top of these things concerning those who are asleep. That means death. It's a euphemism for death. A dead person isn't aware of things going around on the earth going around, contrary to what people might sometimes say. And it also has the nuance of the individual believer is at rest. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, principle, for those of us who die before the rapture. That you may not grieve. He is not saying no grieving for the loss of a loved one. Because he qualifies it. Even as the rest, that's the outsiders. Obviously, the world of unbelievers that live on this earth, and they have no hope. They have no hope beyond here. Now, okay, people come up with ideas and things, but they have no real hope. It's the here and now for so many people. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, that's a first-class condition. He's not questioning their salvation. Even so, those who have slept through the agency of Jesus, if it's your time to go, it's through the agency of Jesus as a believer. Whether it is dying in a positive way with honor or dying negative in reversionism. In any case, it's the agency of Jesus, his deity. There's a time for all of us to live and to die, Ecclesiastes. And your days are numbered, and blah, 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 and on and on and on and on. Those who have slept through the agency of Jesus, the God will bring with him. For we say to you by the word of the Lord, John 14, read it. I just gave you one verse out of it, where Jesus broaches this topic. Obviously, the disciples at that time, no way they could get their head around all that. There wouldn't be even, in this case, they wouldn't even be expected to. They'd have to process that down the road, and they did. That we who are alive, that is, remaining. Paul isn't saying, I believe I'm one of them. He says, we as a corporate group, the body of Christ. Two categories. Those who die before the rapture, and those who are alive. Shall by no means, it's fairly strong Greek construction, precede those who have fallen asleep. The usual thinking might be that when the rapture occurs, those of us who are alive, down here breathing air in the cosmos, that we might have a leg up on the rest of them. Nope. We don't. Technically, that is incorrect. There's three ways it could have gone down. The living saints go first, and then the dead. Or we all go together simultaneously. That's number two. Or this one that's right here. So we have a complete breakdown of this in a very interesting passage that I think the believers at Maranatha are quite familiar with. But it's always good to review it. Because the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. Okay, that's number one on your list. He comes out from the third heaven, travels down here, and does not come to the earth, as noted, making contact with it. But He stays up in the atmosphere at a certain height. He will descend from heaven with a loud command. A kind of a parallel to that is when He made His most spectacular miracle of resurrection in bringing His friend Lazarus out of the grave, who had been dead for 3 days. In His human voice there, He raised His voice so everyone would hear that upon His command, Lazarus would come to life. He still needs some help getting out of his grave clothes. You can read about that. With a loud command, with the voice of an archangel. This comes out of His humanity. That voice also is manifest in this super, beyond human vocalization at the second advent, facing the armies at Armageddon. You can read about it, I believe, in Zechariah. It will be a resounding voice of a warrior. With the voice of an archangel. Now, the archangels are obviously a super category of angels. One of them, for instance, will light up the entire world in the book of Revelation. Lights will go on everywhere. I don't care if it's dark, day, night, wherever people are at. There will be this supernatural light. Not of God, which wouldn't be of our, but by the archangel. And archangels will make announcements in the tribulation era. And they've got a set of lungs on them, so to speak. Vocal cords. There's so much I don't know about angels. Just that when you read some of the things that they pull off and accomplish, it's mind-boggling. Well, you're going to be equal with an angel. He will have, if He needs it, the voice of an archangel. It'll be a command like the one directed at and specified for His friend Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. He raised His voice and everybody heard it. Boom. Lazarus is back to normal. Back in this life. All these witnesses of this. And with the trumpet blast of God, trumpets were used in the Old Testament to signal various kinds of things. The approach of an enemy. The announcement of feasts. They blew the ram's horn. They had them specified around the country. These things would be blown and people would hear them. Maybe like the siren they set off at noon every Saturday around here for about 3 minutes. And the dead in Christ shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So some level of clouds will be involved in our event. We'll have a stopping point. That is, with a cloud in the clouds. And so shall we always be with the Lord. That's to encourage us. We'll never be separated from Christ. We'll not like we are down here in the sense that we are. I mean, He's with us in His deity and all that. But we will always be with the Lord. Always be associated with Him and His destiny. And that includes 7 years while the tribulation unfolds on earth. Daniel 70th week. The day of the Lord the wrath part of it. And then we will come back with him at the second advent. And then we will be given administrative posts according to our faithfulness to God in time when he rules over the nations for 1,000 years. And then on to the eternal state, the new heaven, the new earth. We'll always be with the Lord. It's the same Jesus. In his glorified state, he doesn't change who he was as the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just a new venue, a permanent venue. We shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, keep on encouraging one another with these words. Okay? We're told to do that. Encourage one another. The rapture's going to happen. I'll give you more information in subsequent presentations here. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all sleep, re-die, but we will all be changed. I read that earlier. False views of the rapture touch on that. Obviously, with regard to any doctrine in the Bible, people have come along and distorted it. This is so stupid. But believe it or not, it had a lot of traction. Postmillennial. The church ushers in the millennium. Well, we're not doing very good at that. At the end of which Christ, oh, the world's so wonderful, he comes back. You just can't resist. I mean, I know that one is yuck, yuck. Laugh, laugh, laugh. That is so stupid. But you can go check out the dummies that put it. Split rapture theory or partial rapture theory. Only the faithful are taken at the rapture. Well, then everybody at the bema seat's okay. There's no shame. There's no loss of reward. No. All of us. The body of Christ isn't split into two periods and half of them go, so a split rapture or some version of that. Mid-tribulation rapture. The church goes through one half of the tribulation. If you look at the book of Revelation, after you get past the opening chapters, in particular chapter 6 through 19, we don't pick the church up again until we see the bride ceremony in heaven and we're coming back with him. The church is in heaven with Christ. We do not have to endure one day of that mess. We just have to deal with the birth pains at the end of the church age, and we're dealing with one of them. And I don't know how it all is going to turn out with regard to our future, meeting here and all the rest. I hear different things. We're going to take it cautiously. We will let you know with regard to this. Meanwhile, it's been a test. Some have passed it very well, and apparently some haven't. That's your problem. Doesn't give me any joy. And the other one, the church goes through the entire. This view confuses the rapture with the second advent. The parousia, or the coming of Christ, is divided into two phases. The quiet phase, the rapture. I mean, quiet, huh? Not for people left here. Not for people who see all of us disappear and go to their favorite cemetery to see their mother's grave, and these whole things are desecrated. Broken up as evidence. People who survive this will have big evidence that the Bible's true, the rapture's right, and you better become a believer in Jesus Christ. For those listening, if you're not, get on board with the truth. This is where we're headed. They know big things are coming, but they just don't know who they are because they're not in churches that teach this right, apparently. All right, that's where we'll stop for today. See you next time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity of being able to present this information in this fashion. Bless it to positive volition. In Christ's name, amen.